Well, I'll wait now. I see some out in the vestibule. I'll give you two guesses who it is. First one don't count, though. Huh? Here she comes, finally. Scared me to death the other day. I'm sitting at Zaxby's waiting on an order. You know, that sometimes they tell you, would you go forward into that? And we bring it out. Well, I'm sitting there. And all of a sudden, on my window, I like to jump out of my seat. I look around, it's Becky. Don't do that to an old man.
She wanted you to order for her.
Do what? She wanted you to order for her. Oh, God, I didn't even think that. Honey, I'm sorry. I'll reimburse you.
I said, she wanted you to order for her so you could buy her own.
Hey, I'll reimburse you before you leave today. All right. Let's see. All right. We are in Revelation chapter 2. And chapter 2 is all about the churches. How many are there?
Seven.
And seven in the Bible is a perfect or divine number, right? It's the number of God, if you will. And I don't think that's doing any harm to the Word of God to say that. Because the seven churches represent both the literal and the symbolic. In other words, they are literal churches, yet they have representation of the church age, right? So why is that important? Why is that important to understanding Revelation?
Because the churches are the Gentiles, and everything after the church age is about Israel.
That's a good way to look at it. That's not exactly as I would have put it, but that's good. See, that's what we call working together, you know. But the reason it's important is this. Something that is literal, Jimmy, does not transcend time, does it? For example, the church at Ephesus. Well, we can't go visit the church of Ephesus today because it didn't transcend time. It's no longer there, right? But if it's symbolic, and what went on at Ephesus is symbolic, then what does that... I was just getting ready to ask about you, but I won't now. So what that means is it can transcend time. So what that means, Jimmy, is this. In Liberty Fellowship Church, in every person in this building under the sound of my voice at this time is in one of these seven churches. How you like that? You just have to determine which church you're in. Well, now, let me tell you something, since you spoke up. You don't know that.
Well,
you can only speak for you. No, no, no.
Nothing.
No. You can only speak for yourself, honey. Oh. See, the key word here was K-N-O-W. You don't know everything. God knows everything. God knows this morning what church you're in. She don't. I don't. But God does. Everyone in here will be represented by one of these churches. You better figure out which one you're in as we go through. Because each one had what? Thank you. She's sharp as a... Boy, she's sharp. Them vegetables she grows is good too. It's the assets. And then... the liabilities. Now, Smyrna, for example, had all assets and no liabilities. Ephesus had a bunch of assets, but one liability that negated all the assets. You're doing good, honey. You keep it up. You took your medicine, didn't you?
No.
Pergamos had... assets. But unfortunately, they had liabilities. You have to determine where you're at. You see, you can be Y'all know what that means. Christian-like. And have all these Christian-like assets. But when God looks, if he sees liabilities, he's going to say, but I have somewhat against you. So that's the reason that it's symbolic, because it transcends time. It's here. I'm going to show you that. Listen, I'll show it to you, and you can't deny it, but people will. Just remember. All right. So in the first church, now, all the churches, at the end of the church, he did what? He told them if they were overcomers, they'd get certain things, right? Okay, now here we go. Don't you be looking no Bible now. I see that head down, I'll get you. I want your head up. Because in the church at Ephesus, if you were an overcomer, what did he say you would get? Come on now. Now listen, here's how you do that. I'm going to show you how you do it. This is gorgeous. Lynn, even you can do it. I mean, even you can do it. When you read the scriptures, I want you to take a photograph of it. Not with your phone. With your mind. You remember I told you, I know where things are in the Bible by what page they're on, what column they're in. Because when I read it, I take a photograph in my mind of that. And so when I read about Ephesus, it's on the left page, left column, top of the column, and it comes down, and about midway through that, it gives me the overcomers part. And in that overcomers part, I see it in my mind. I'm not bragging, folks, please. I'm trying to help us all. In my mind, I see it. And he says, to them that overcome, will I give to eat of the tree of life in paradise. Now, if that don't motivate a person to be an overcomer, I don't know what would. I'll give you eternal life, he says. I'll give you eternal life. And then he comes down to the Smyrna, and it's almost to the bottom of the page. And it goes all the way down, and then it starts at the top. And he says, to them that overcome the second death, they'll have no heard of it. Why did he say that to Smyrna? Because they were being brutalized. They were being persecuted. They were being killed on every hand. And he said, listen, just hang in there and overcome. Believe in me, trust in me, and I'll promise you this. The second death. Everybody know, we're going to get to the second death. It's on over here. It's on over here. It ain't good. It's far worse than the first one. He says, but you won't have no hurt of the second death. And then we come to purpose. Now he's starting down that right column. And he says, to them that overcome. Boy, and I spent some time on it at the end last week. Now, y'all know this. It's just last week. Come on, just last week. Now, how many members last week? Okay, that's a problem. I don't know how I'm going to get through this, Lynn, if nobody can remember last week. You know, It's not that far. It's 7 days ago. But he says, to them that overcome, will I give a WH? Oh, you looked. I saw you. No. Here she was. Now, I told you I'd get you. Here she is. Now, everybody see this. I said, and she says, why stone? I mean, as if it just come to her. I'm just playing. He says, I'll give them a white stone. Now, what did I tell you about the white stone? Come on, it's just 7 days ago. Huh? Well, no. Remember when they were voting, or when they were on a jury, you know. I haven't got to the black ball yet. Oh, it's amazing how y'all, something pops in your mind, all of a sudden everybody wants to talk. Yeah, when I want you to say something, you can't say nothing. Mush with a mouthful. Oh, okay. Oh, I remember. Okay. But remember, the white stone meant a verdict of innocent. Oh, I had me a time that maybe you didn't. He says, I'll give you a white stone, Jimmy. Bless God, when God says you're innocent, guess what? You're innocent. He says, I won't pull no black stone out on you. I'll give you a white stone. Not only that, inside that stone, I'm going to give you a new name, which only him that receiveth it knows. Folks, this is not just myth. This is not about Hercules and Zeus and all that nonsense and mythology. This is real. The Almighty God, he which is, which was, which is to come, the Almighty, said, if you overcome, I'm going to give you a white stone. And in that stone, a new name, which only he that knoweth it, that receiveth it. I don't know about you, but these are all motivation, bless God, to be an overcomer to me. You say, well, Tom, I'm doing my best to overcome. Well, that's a problem. That's a problem. Because he don't say on your own efforts, does he? Because when you find out how you become an overcomer, you just believe in him. That's all. You just receive him as for what he says. He says he's the Son of God. You say, I believe that, Lord, with all my heart. He says, I came and died for your sins. You say, God, I believe that with all my heart. And he says, whosoever shall call upon me shall be saved. And you say, God, I'm here calling. Yeah. Guess what? You've overcome. And you ain't never, I know that's bad English. I have no children in here, I don't think. Where's Gideon? I don't want Gideon to hear bad English from a baby's standpoint. Boy, didn't he look good today in his little hat. I tell you, that's more something else. Where was I? Anybody know? Huh? Yeah, I know we're overcoming. What was I saying about it? Oh, ain't never. You ain't never going to not be an overcomer. Because you have overcome. Thank you, honey. It's the perfect participle. It means you've overcome, you're overcoming, and you will overcome. It's never changing. Hallelujah. You know, we talk about Independence Day. How many is glad you're born in this country where you can be free? Well, rape. That's God. Raise your hand anyway. You know, that commercial, raise your hand if you're sure. How many believes that your freedom is dwindling? Oh, now, boy, I tell you what, some of them got two up now. How many believe God made you free? How many believe that's dwindling? That ain't dwindling, folks. Whom the Son hath made free, he's free indeed. You can count on that. That's what he's talking about to the churches. You got to just find out what church you're in. You say, I'll go to Liberty Fellowship. Don't mean anything to me. It's what God sees. God knows. And so we come today to the church at Thyatira. Now, how many of you have heard of Jezebel? You know, that's the way we say it. You Jezebel. Now, ladies, don't be offended. I don't mean that towards you in any regard. But Jezebel was a lady, was a queen. Now, I'm going to read you something. It sort of sets the stage because he does the same thing as with every church. The first thing he does is commend them. But first of all, he tells them who's sending this letter. Now, I want you to pick up on something here. Now, in every introduction of the letter, there has been a description of whom? Huh? Who it's come from. And where did they get those characteristics and that description from? In each letter. Think back. Let your mind go. The first chapter. You remember the first chapter? It's all about the glorified Son of God. Remember? That's who's coming. That's who it's revealing. The revelation, remember? And in each characteristic, he says, he saw him with the eyes flame of fire and feet as brass as if they'd been burned in a furnace. And his And his mouth was as the mouth of many, his voice was as the voice of many waters. You remember all that? And he had a garment down to the foot, remember? And his loins were girt about with gold. You remember all that? Well, that's the description that he gives in each church. And if you go back and read, that's where they got it. Remember last week, it was the sword, remember? And we said the sword is what? The word. So what it was, the word was speaking the word. And you better listen when the word speaks the word. But this time it deviates somewhat. Now it still leaves a couple characteristics there. But he says this time, this one is from the Son of God. You won't find that in that first chapter. Because it says the Son, I saw in the midst of the candlesticks, one likened to the Son of Man. See. So what that tells me is, he's not only man. He was all man. Hey, he's all man. He had pain just like you have pain. He had hurt just like you have hurt. He had feelings just like you have feelings. He had emotions just like you. He cried at Lazarus' grave. Mm-hmm. All that. Is human, right? But that's how the Jews saw him only. They didn't see him as the Son of God. Oh, they wanted to kill him for calling himself the Son of God. They said, well, you've made yourself equal with God. Duh. I did because I am. And here, to this church, he says, from the Son of God. I'm the Son of God, whose eyes were as a flame of fire and whose feet were as they were burned in a furnace. Fine brass. Now that came from the first chapter, didn't it? But the Son of God, why would he all of a sudden switch it, Jimmy? Why would this church get a letter from not the Son of Man, Son of God. And he says, I know. Remember, we talked about that, didn't we? He's not learning about him now. It's not a process. He doesn't learn a little today and a little tomorrow, and pretty soon he knows everything. You know, we say, well, I know everything about you. I've been with you a long time. You know, my wife, I don't know a third about my wife. 56 years we've been married, 57 altogether. I guarantee she'd tell you this morning, he doesn't know a thing about me. I've tried. But the problem with me, what I learn, goes away. If I get out of my routine of a morning, she'll come in there and say, honey, I put my drink in the freezer. Because that's her breakfast. I serve breakfast. She has a Dr. Pepper in the freezer and a pack of crackers. That's her breakfast. And I fix her breakfast for her every morning. But if I get out of my routine, I'm in there reading my Bible, and she'll say, I put my drink in. I say, oh, Lord, honey, I got out of my routine. I forgot. God don't forget, folks, because he's not learning about you. He's not learning about me. He knows everything about you. Don't ever forget that. That's why we're to walk upright before him. He knows everything about you and everything about me. And he wants this church to know God knows everything about you. He says, I know your works. You got good works. I know you love. I know your patience. I know you're the word is hupomone, which means steadfast endurance. He says, I know you're enduring. And he says, I know your service, which means you're out serving me. And he says, and I know your works. And you say, well, no, he just said works. No, he says it twice. He says, and I know your works, that the second is more than the first. What does that say? Well, you're doing even more for me now than you were originally. I mean, you're really in there. That's a lot of assets, folks. I mean, most people say, well, that church is in good standing with God. Well, maybe not. Because he says, but I have somewhat against you. I'm going to go back up here because I got two ladies. I'm talking to their back.
That's right.
I've tried to get them moved back. I can't. He says, I've got somewhat against you. Thou sufferest. It means you're allowing that woman Jezebel. Now, I don't know if there was a woman in this church named Jezebel. I mean, who would name their daughter Jezebel? That's my second assistant. She's following in the steps of my first one. So I don't get caught up in all that. I don't know if this is an actual woman. I know it's an actual woman, but I don't know if her name was really Jezebel. Or I don't know if she's acting like Jezebel. So in order to do that, guess where we got to go? We got to go learn about Jezebel. Look, if you will, at 1 Kings. Now I'll have to, I know where it's at on my Bible here. I'll find it. Don't worry. 1 Kings, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, it's the end of chapter 16, and it is. Right-hand page, left-hand column. Here's what it says, verse 20 or 31, verse 31. Verse 31, 16, 1 Kings 16, verse 31. Now, I'm just going to read now. Just stay with me.
16:2,
you don't have reading glasses. What are you doing in here without reading glasses? Well, tell them to hurry up. All right, here we go. Now, I'm just playing with you. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing. Let me ask you something, ladies. Now, I want a show of hands, too. Men, I want you to look around for the show of hands. How many in here think that it's trivial for a man to just reject what you say? I didn't think I'd see a hand. Well, if you feel that way, how do you think God feels? That's what the word light means. It means trivial. As if it's nothing. As if it means nothing. Well, let's see if that's true. And it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam. In other words, it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for Ahab to walk in the sins of his father Jeroboam and be worse. He did a worse thing. Let's see what the worst thing was. He took to wife Jezebel, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went and served Baal and worshipped him. You know, you remember last week we talked about Balaam and the sin of Balaam? What was the sin of Balaam? He was trying to find a way around God's word, remember? And he couldn't because God said, you ain't going to curse them. You're going to bless them. And what did he do? He blessed them. But he still wanted the money, you remember? So he went to Balak and he said, Balak, I can't curse them. But I can tell you how God can. You send your women down there and you intermingle with the Israelite men. And that's going against God's word. God will judge them. Is that what happened? Well, just sure as you're sitting where you're sitting. Well, God didn't appreciate that. You remember what happened to Balaam, don't you? He's killed with the sword. He was trying to hide. You don't hide from God. I'll show you that today. You don't hide from God. So anyway, Ahab, he marries Jezebel, and Jezebel comes in, and she sets up through Ahab idol worship of Baal and made groves and brought all these Baal prophets in. Well, God said, okay, I better send old Elijah down there. He said, Elijah, don't you go down there and don't you tell Ahab this. At my word, it ain't going to rain for 3 years. Well, they didn't like Elijah for that, did they? So what did God tell Elijah to do? He said, well, son, take off. He says, I tell you what, here's where I want you to go. I want you to go to the brook Cherub. And he says, listen, this is not a story, folks. This is real. This is not TV stuff. Listen, the on-strike writers in Hollywood didn't make this up. This is God's word. He says, I've instructed the ravens. Now, I tell you what, you try that sometimes, you'll starve to death. He said, I've instructed the ravens to feed you. And every day, the raven brought him just exactly what the body needs to be sustained, water and bread. You say, I don't believe that. You'll go to hell. Hey, it's us. You don't believe God's word, that's where you're heading. Because if you don't believe this story, you don't believe Jesus was the Son of God either. You say, well, Tom, I talk about Jesus all the time. Now, look, I'm not talking about anybody individually. I'm just teaching in general terms. So don't say, oh, God, what does he know of me? We have to believe all of it.
That's right.
See, that's the world's problem. They want to go in here and sort of etch out what they don't like. So that's what happens. For 3 years, it don't rain. And then at the end of that 3 years, God sends Elijah back. They sent out to get Elijah, he said, oh no. He said, don't send me back to Ahab, tell him you're here, because they've been looking everywhere for you and they'll kill me just sure as I go back. He said, listen, you go on back. You tell him that I'll appear to him today. And he did. He said, I'll tell you what, King, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get all them Baal prophets, 400 of them, and let's go up here on Mount Carmel, and we're going to find out who God is. You've allowed this woman to come in here and seduce my servants, cause my children, my people, to chase after idols. We're going to find out who's real. So they go up on the mountain and they make two altars. Now, I don't want you to miss this now. So I want to go over there to where that happens. If I can find it, I know it's on the right page and the right column, and sometimes I have trouble figuring out where that is. Now I'm already missed it. Huh? No, I'm there. I appreciate you much. Now, so here it comes down to verse 27 in chapter 18 that says this. And it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked them. Now they've tried from sun up to noon. They've tried to get their god Baal to send fire down and consume their offering. And so he starts mocking them. And he says, and it came to pass at noon that Elijah mocked, he is a god. Either he is talking or he's pursuing, or he's in a journey, or preventure, he sleepeth and must be awakened. There's something wrong with your God. Now you keep trying. Listen, your God, he's going to come. You just keep trying. And they cried aloud and cut themselves after their manner with knives and lance till the blood gushed out. Bless their heart. And it came to pass when midday was past, and they prophesied until the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice, that there was neither voice nor any to answer, nor any that regarded. And Elijah said unto all the people, come near unto me. And all the people came near unto him. I sent a text out to a friend this week. It's time to repair the altar. And he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. Jeremiah says it this way. Stand ye in the way and see and ask for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? And you shall find rest for your soul. Wasn't that what Jesus said? Yeah. Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you. But folks, what was said at the end of that verse in Jeremiah is makes my skin crawl. But they said, we will not walk therein. There's a price to be paid for people who say that. So here they build, they repair the altar. The way God had said to offer the sacrifice. On the altar that God had said to offer it on. That's what Elijah doing. Folks, listen. We better get back to what God says do. The way God says to do it. When God says to do it. If we're not careful, we're going to listen to the world. And that won't be good. We better do it God's way.
That's right.
Totally. Listen, you're not going to be liked if you do. You're going to be talked about if you do. You're going to offend people if you do. But Jesus said it this way. What? Are you offended because I tell you the truth? So Elijah, he does it God's way. Well, let's see if that works out. And Elijah took 12 stones according to the number of the tribes of the sons of Jacob, just like God had said to, and unto the word and whom the word of the Lord came, saying, Israel shall be thy name. So who's he reaching out to here? Israel. Who had Jezebel led astray? Israel. Well, how do you get back when you've gone astray? You see out the old path. The one that God's had all this time and has never changed. But we're trying to change it, folks. I'm going to show you here in just a second. About 2 seconds here. Not quite two, but close. And it came to pass at the time of the offering and sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things. If I don't get anything else across this morning, let Liberty Fellowship Church, the congregation at Liberty Fellowship Church, do things at His word, according to His word, not deviating from His word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that the people may know that Thou art the Lord God and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord came. Remember, they'd worked all morning to try to get it. All Elijah did was this. God, do it according to Your. Anything that you ask in my name and believe, I'll do it for you. Let's don't ever deviate from the word. Let's don't be a church in Thyatira where we got all these works and love and service and all this and more works than we've had in years. And then allow somebody to come in here and lead God's servants astray, folks. You say, Tom, that can't happen. Well, let's see if it can't. Go ahead, Scott. Let's see if that can't happen.
Let us confess our faith today in the words of the Sparkle Creed. I believe in the non-binary God, whose pronouns are plural. I believe in Jesus Christ, their child, who wore a fabulous tunic and had two dads, and saw everyone as a sibling child of God. I believe in the rainbow spirit who shatters our image of one white light and refracts it into a rainbow of gorgeous diversity. I believe in the church of everyday saints as numerous, creative, and resilient as patches on the ace quilt, whose feet are grounded in mud and whose eyes gaze at the stars in wonder. I believe in the calling to each of us that love is love is love. So, beloved, let us love. I believe, glorious God, help my unbelief. Amen. Let us.
Now, you tell me it can't get here, folks. That sounds religious to me. They mention God. They mention Jesus. They mention love. But that's idolatry, folks. They're worshiping an idol there. They're worshiping their God as they see their God. Did Jesus have two dads? Well, people will say, well, he had an earthly dad, Joseph. No, he didn't. Joseph wasn't his dad, folks. If Joseph had been his dad, he would have been birthed of Joseph. God's his father. But you see, what they want to do is they want to make it sound good and yet get you to approve a lifestyle that says, oh, well, you can be two moms or you can be two dads. I mean, we got a creed after all. We recite the creed, and I've got this thing on, I've got this thing, I look important, I look religious. I'm not mocking them. Yes, I am. Elijah mocked them. That will take our children straight to hell.
Right. Amen.
And to me, that's worth hollering about. So we better be careful in this church. You say, Tom, it can't come here. We're a small church. Let me tell you something. We get away from God's word, it'll be in here so fast it'll make your head swim.
Right.
I got to read quick now. Let's go, if you will, let's go back to Revelation. I'm just going to read now. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest, you're allowing that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself. I don't want Nick in the pulpit. I don't want Dan Foster in the pulpit, because they decided what they are. If God didn't call them, I ain't listening. And I'm going to know pretty quick, folks. I don't care to tell you. I'm not saying that in a braggadocious way. But it won't take me but 5 seconds to hear somebody preach out of that pulpit and know whether God's called them or not. And the day this church allows that will be the last day I'm coming through the doors. That's how deeply I feel about it. I love this church. I love you people. Bless God, I'm going to stand on the wall. I'm going to be a watchman. And I'm going to watch what comes in here. And if it ain't a God, bless God, you're going to see me against it. Calleth herself a prophetess to teach and to seduce my servants. To commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. In other words, to see God in a different way than God says he is. You can't make God to reconcile to your life. You better reconcile your life to who God is. Because God's not changing. I am God. I change not. I am the Lord. I change not. And I gave her space to repent. What a gracious God. He'll give that woman right there, and I say that respectfully to her. I don't know her. I've never met her. He'll give her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. There's a consequence to that, folks. You won't get my hatred. You'll get God's hatred. Mm-hmm. You say, now, Tom, don't speak of God in as hating. God is love. That, I mean, isn't that how they sound? Isn't that what they wanted to, you know, this smooth, we got, you know, and we got to, it's okay. You better have somebody go in that church say, no, bless God, it's not okay. You're going to hell this way. But we're getting fewer and fewer. Nick, I say this with all love. I love you, son. You better stand on the Word of God. And you better preach out of the Word of God or you're on dangerous grounds. I better teach out of the Word of God or I'm on dangerous ground. God will kill me. That's how serious he takes. You say, oh, Tom, well, let's see if that's true. He says, behold, I will cast her into a bed of sickness, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds, and I'll kill her children with death. Well, who's the children there? Who's the children of Jezebel there? Bless God, it's the followers. It's the offspring. That's what children means. Look it up in the Bible. It simply means offspring. Well, when he says that we're the children of God, what does that mean, Jimmy? We're the offspring of God. We were created by God. In a new birth, he says, Nicodemus, you've got to be born again. Well, who are these people? Oh, they're offspring too. He says, well, you're of your father, the devil. And the lust of your father, bless God, you're going to do. We better get that, folks. I'm telling you. If we ever needed it, it's today. This thing is, I've never seen it so prevalent, so in your face. Listen, you be who you want to be. That's between you and God. I'm just going to warn you about it. I don't judge you for it. But there'll be one that does.
Right.
And you better, you can go find your church says he won't until you find out he will. He says, I'll kill the children. I'll kill the offspring. I'll kill everyone that follows what she's teaching. I'll kill everyone that worships someone other than me. I'll kill them. You say, Tom, does that mean he's going to kill them here? Could. But remember what he told the church at Smyrna? You won't be hurt by the... Oh, they will. They will. And I say that, listen, God knows I'm not judging them, folks. If they don't change that, if they don't repent of that, they'll pay forever in the second death for that.
That's right.
Because that's contrary to God. And I know that's... Look, I get it. This is not a shouting time. I get it. I'm not talking about heaven this morning. I'm not talking about a place of no sin and sickness and sorrow. I get that. But there comes a time, folks, when we've got to make a stand.
Right.
Either we believe it or we don't. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. You're going to get paid. The wages of sin. He didn't say the gift of sin, bless God. He said the wages. You're earning what you're going to get, and you're going to get it. There'll be a payday for you. There'll be a payday for these people that want to go against God's word. There's going to be a payday. You better know that. Listen, your children, your grandchildren, there'll be a payday. You can listen, you can turn your nose up, you can turn your head around, you can do whatever you want to. You don't have to listen. I got to read fast. I love this. I'm going to read this real quick. But unto you I say, unto the rest of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, to everyone that wouldn't follow it, let's see if they get something different. Have the doctrine in which I have not known the depths of Satan as they speak, but I will put upon you none other burden, but that which ye have already, hold on to it. Let me tell you something, church. Hold on to what you got. Don't let anybody, anywhere, anytime, in any silver-tongued way, take what you've got. Hold on to it, he says. And he that overcometh, another promise, and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron, and the vessels of potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. That's not a star in heaven, folks. That's a star from heaven. He's the lily of the valley. He's the bride. You know what he says there? Now I'm going to give you something to shout about. He says, you just keep trusting me. You keep staying with me. And in the end, bless God, I'll give you me. Huh? What a thing to have. You know what? There's a place in the Bible where it says, God's in your forehead. Everybody's going to have a written right there. God's. That means you belong to him. That means he belongs to you. That means everything he's got. He says, he that suffereth me shall reign with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I like reigning with the Lord. I like reigning with the King. I'd rather be in heaven than hell anytime.
Amen.
And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and a vessel of potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received my Father, and I will give him the morning star. And he that hath an ear, let him hear.
Yeah.
Here's what that's saying. When you hear this, they used to have something come on and say, now hear this. Now hear this. What was that? Is that a military thing? Y'all ever remember hearing that? Well, let me say it this way. Now hear this. Don't just hear it. Hear it.
Amen.
And believe it. And seize it. And hold on to it. Put a grip on it. And don't let anyone tear this out of your hand. And if they don't like it, tell them to lump it. I'm done.